Hare Krishna. So we are at the end of this chapter wherein Bhrigu is showing his tyrannical power by offering oblation at the southern part of the Yajna Kund, from where thousands of demigods named Prabhus are being generated. In this verse and purport, we can see the brahminical power of Brahma Tejas and also the efficacy of chanting Vedic mantras. In those times, meaning in Vedic times, the demigods could come to the earthly planets. The interplanetary travel was possible in previous ages. And the sacrificial yajna was a show of brahminical prowess and showing everyone the presence of demigods. For example, now if there is an award night, say Oscar award, people are excited to watch it in the television, or a few could go directly and watch the award and could see all the actors and actresses and different sacrifices in India. Then people could personally witness all the demigods. So the brahmanas, the big arena where huge yajna kund, the pit for sacrifice is present, and there is a huge flames of fire, and the brahmanas are offering different sacred items into the fire. And it is just like sitting in MCG, because in MCG there is a cricket pitch is there, and thousands or maybe 10,000 people are sitting around, and everyone is watching the match or footy, and they can see it. In the same way, the subjects of the country were excited to witness a Vedic sacrifice, because they could see the brahmanas are offering the oblations into the fire, and suddenly the demigods are coming one by one. As they offer oblations to different demigods, they personally came and accepted the oblations. And even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu himself, appeared from the fire of sacrifice. So such was the potency of Vedic sacrifice. And if the demigods personally didn't appear in the yajna kund, then the sacrifice was considered unsuccessful. Think of the current times where there are so many sacrifices that they perform, at least here and there in India. But nothing happens. You pour oblations into the fire, the ghee being poured into the fire, nothing happens. The flames are increased, but other than that, you can't see any demigods appearing. Because in this current age, the demigods think that this human generation and earthly planet is not worth paying a visit. It's so degraded, the Kali Yuga is so degraded that demigods don't come in this age of Kali. So that is one of the specialities of this age of Kali. Even though previous ages the demigods used to personally come, in Kali Yuga they don't appear. That's what happened even at the time of King Anga. King Anga wanted progeny, so he appointed qualified priests and brahmanas to perform the sacrifice. And they were pouring oblations into the fire, and they realized that the demigods are not personally accepting these oblations. So they understood there is something wrong with the sacrifice. And they consulted themselves and they found out that there is nothing wrong with us. We are following all the regulations and all the processes properly, and all the mantras are being chanted properly. Still, the demigods are not personally accepting the sacrifices. Then they concluded there must be something wrong with King Anga. So they consulted King Anga, what's wrong with him. So this is how the efficacy of Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, if you read Mahabharata or Ramayana or Srimad Bhagavatam, all the weapons are also invoked by Vedic mantras. It's not necessarily spiritual, but the mantras had so much potency. We can see Srimad Bhagavatam itself, how Ashwatthama invoked Brahmastra in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? He took the water purified and he chanted mantras, and that invoked Brahmastra. Ashwatthama was right with his nuclear weapon. But it is more sophisticated than the current nuclear weapon, because it cannot hit a particular target or it cannot kill a particular person. Rather, it causes mass destruction, which is uncontrolled and it can be unguided too. So these weapons are invoked by mantras. There are fire weapons, there are wind weapons, there are thunderbolt weapons, there are water weapons. All are invoked simply by chanting of Vedic mantras. Now in this verse we can also see that even the demigods are generated by chanting Vedic mantras, not one or two, but thousands of them by the name Rudbhus. So here we can see Bhrigumuni is showing his grammatical power by throwing oblation to the southern side of the Kunda, Yagi Kunda, and from there these demigods are coming and they are fighting with the followers of Sati, and they are getting defeated and they are going here and there to save their lives. This was because of Brahma Tejas or the grammatical potency. In this age of Kali, hardly can you see any grammatical potency. There is no Brahma Tejas because there are no Brahmanas. It's interesting, the classification of Brahmana according to the Vedic standard. If someone wants to climb to be a Brahmana, the first samskara that must be performed is Gangotrana samskara. If somebody is conceived without Gangotrana samskara, then that person is automatically considered Shudra. Gangotrana means that is even before conceiving a child by the parents. Before conceiving the child, one has to perform Gangotrana, then only a grammatical child could be produced. So Kaliga hardly can we find any Brahmanas. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam defines a Kaliga Brahmana. If one has a thread around, then one is considered a Brahmana. So if you can go to India, you can buy for 3-4 rupees one thread, and if you can wear, you are considered a Brahmana. So that is Brahmanical class of the age of Kali. And so-called Brahmanas, they, even though they claim to be Brahmanas, they perform any abominable activities. I have seen many, we have all seen many. In many parts of India, I have seen Brahmana means if they don't, one of the prime drink of a Brahmana is coffee. In South India, if Brahmana doesn't drink nice hot coffee, he's not considered a Brahmana. It is part of the process. I was surprised. Initially it was okay for me, but after becoming a devotee and practicing for a few years, when I went home and I was partaking in my aunties last rites, so to purify us, because we had to go through the procedure for 11 days or whatsoever, and after that there was a purificatory process. So one is for the departed soul, and after that the whole family need to be purified. It's called punyaha. You know, here also when we do Degya, we do the punyaha, throw the water. So they brought about, I don't know, 12 or 14 Brahmanas to purify us after the rites. Then part of the ceremony was, after the ceremony there has to be breakfast with coffee, tea and all the snacks. And many of these Brahmanas, they chew pan, you know, pan has some tobacco. So this is part of the Brahmanical culture of this age of Kali. And it goes even further that in Kuru Purana it is mentioned that Rakshasa Kalimashritya Jayate Brahmana Yonishu. is mentioned. If anyone is proud of being born in a Brahma family, Kuru Purana says, don't be proud. The Kuru Purana says, in Kali Yuga, Rakshasa, the demons, or man-eaters, Rakshasa technically can be translated as man-eaters. Rakshasa Kali Mashati, taking shelter of the age of Kali, Jayate, they take birth in Brahmana Yonishu, they take birth in the Brahmanical families. So, what to speak about Kali Yuga Brahmanas? There is no qualification whatsoever. Still, they claim to be Brahmanas. So even the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was a hard time for Saraswati Thakur to fight against this so-called Brahmanism. They said, the Vaishnavas or anyone other than those who are born in Brahmana class cannot get initiated in Gayatri Mantras and they have no right to worship Saligram Shilas. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did both. He initiated anyone who is qualified with Gayatri Mantra and also allowed them to worship the deities as well as Saligram Shilas. When Bhaktisiddhanta and his followers reached Vrindavan, many of the Goswamis closed their temples, not allowing them to take darshan. And also, many of them organized stone pelting. Now, in Kashmir, there is Krishna stone pelting because of the political reasons. But in Vrindavan, people were throwing stones at Bhaktisiddhanta and his followers. So, this is such strong the Brahminical culture, the so-called Brahminical culture was. Now, it is degrading. Still, there are people who claim to be Brahmanas just by birth. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting point in this purport that currently there are mantras in the Vedic literature. So, if you check Yajurveda, that's what is mentioned in this purport. If you check Yajurveda, there could be the mantra which was used by Bhrigumuni. You can throw oblation into the fire and suddenly the demigods can appear from the fire. The mantras are there. All the different mantras are there, which were used by the great sages and they used to perform magical feats. But now, mantras are there but not chanters are there. That's the problem. No one likes mantras are there but chanters are not present. What does that mean by there are not chanters? It means there are no qualified people. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, Ashwamedham Gavalambham Sanyasam Palamaitrakam Devarena Sutotpattat Kalo Panchan Vivarjayat. Five things are abandoned, must be abandoned in the age of Kali. It is imperative, one has to avoid. One is Ashwamedham, the horse sacrifice, Gavalambham, sacrificing a cow, Sanyasam, just for purification, not for preaching. And Palavaitrikam, that is offering meat and other lower substances to forefathers as a sacrifice. And fifth, Devarena Sutotpattir, that is if one cannot produce, if a husband cannot produce child in his wife's womb, then his brother could produce child in his brother's wife's womb. So this is Devarena Sutotpattir. These five Vedic customs are banned in this age of Kali because there are no qualified people and these facilities could be completely exploited. So now, in this age of Kali, there are no qualified people means there is no right conscious people to chant the Vedic mantras and to produce the required research. So the same principle is applicable in our devotional lives also. Because we are also chanting mantras. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, what's the mantra we chant? We chant Hare Krishna mantra. At the same time, the consciousness by which we are chanting Hare Krishna mantra also yields different results. It is not the same. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the first verse, the most quoted verse, or the verse in which Srila Prabhupada has given most number of lectures. മയാസമനത്മാർ യോഗം യുജന്മതാശ്രയ അസംശയം സമഗ്രമാ യഥാജ്ഞായസി ദക്ഷിണു. സോ Krishna is telling in the beginning of the seventh chapter. The seventh chapter is the beginning of the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which is describing the knowledge of Krishna and the process of devotional service. So in the beginning itself, Krishna makes a very interesting point. Maya asatta manatmata yogam yujjan madashraya. He is talking about how can we know Krishna completely. Point number one is, one has to perform devotional service. Yogan Yujan. One has to be engaged in devotional service. Second is Madashraya. Srila Prabhupada translates Madashraya as in full consciousness of me.
Yeah.
Not partial. Full consciousness of me. In full Krishna consciousness. So one has to perform devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Then my asakta mana, my mind attached to me, then you can know me in completeness without any doubt. But here we have engaging devotional service, the mind has to be attached to Krishna and our consciousness has to be completely in Krishna. So now if you see this verse, it is starting from Mayasakta Manakpata, but Mayasakti, attachment of the mind to Krishna, that's from the beginning. That's the end result. So if you try to understand this verse, if you try to understand the verse sequentially as the Sanskrit flows, you will not understand. First steps of Krishna is saying, Mayasakta Manakpata, Yogan, Yujan, Madashraya. Asamshayam Samagrama, Yathatnyayasik Thachanam. So if you want to know Krishna, first we have to do Yoga, Yunjan, Madashraya. We have to perform devotional service. Then we will come to the first time. What is that? Mayasakta Manapatha. We will get attachment to Krishna. Now here, the point I would like to stress is Madashraya means full consciousness of me. So the way we perform devotional service, and in this case chanting mantra or Hare Krishna mantra, in what consciousness we do chant has an impact on the result. Say for example, if we have a Prabhupada jukebox, if we play it on, it is chanting all the time. 24 hours, 7 days, 365 days, right? Sadatam Kirtendama is doing. If we hear, we get some benefit. But jukebox doesn't have any consciousness, right? So it doesn't get any benefit in itself. We get benefit because we have some consciousness. So this is one extreme. That jukebox is playing all the time, but it doesn't have any consciousness. And other extreme we can take, Srila Prabhupada himself is chanting. Then what happens? Krishna, he is realizing he is with Krishna all the time when he is chanting. Or not, but all the time he is with Krishna. But when he is chanting Krishna's name, Krishna is manifesting, Krishna is present in his name, form, qualities and pastimes. So we can see one zero consciousness and one is Madashraya, 100% consciousness of Krishna. Right? Now, where we fit? We fit in between. Right? We are not zero. Even if we are chanting inattentively, still there is some consciousness. If we are not conscious, we will not be chanting. Right? So since consciousness is there in the body, that's why we are chanting, and even if it's lip service, we do get some benefit. But the point is, it's only some benefit. It's not full benefit. Or even partial. Very, very minimal. Now, when it comes to chanting, actually, it's very interesting that when Madashraya is explained by other acharyas, they say, Madashraya, Madashraya, it is full surrender, full shelter. Okay. And that includes that full shelter, it includes or full consciousness include that one is conscious or one has already realized one's eternal relationship with Krishna in one of the four rasas. So it has that varied meaning, that wide meaning. So Madashraya, shelter, surrender and consciousness can include one's realization of one's connection with Krishna, one's Swarupa Siddhi. That is included in Madhashaya when we try to understand the complete meaning of Madhashaya. So that Madhashaya includes complete love for Krishna. So that is the way Srila Prabhupada and other great acharyas and pure devotees chant Krishna's names. When it comes to our chanting, one devotee asked Shivaram Maharaj about how can we improve 2 hours of our chanting. What is dependent on our 2 hours of chanting? So Shivaram Maharaj gave a very interesting answer. He said, our 2 hours of chanting depends on our rest 22 hours. So what we do, what we meditate, what we think, rest of the 22 hours in the 24 hours, that has a direct and proportionate impact on the 2 hours of chanting. So if you are thinking all the time, making money, paying the mortgage, that is a complete meditation and nothing else. And if we try to pick the beats, which is good, definitely it is good. But at the same time, that time what happens? All the worries actually come. Right? So we need to prepare ourselves even to chant Krishna's names. Just like someone goes to work, one get prepared. Sometimes externally and internally. One get prepared. Otherwise one cannot go and work. Similarly, when it comes to chanting, how we cultivate our consciousness both externally and internally are very important. So the absorption, the development of consciousness can start from Mangalarti. Right? It's simple. We can try to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra without attending Mangalarti and after attending Mangalarti. There is a difference. We can start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra with the association of the devotees and without the association of the devotees. There is a difference. You can start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra when there is a constant or there is sufficient study of Shastra or Srila Prabhupada's books. Then we can see how it impacts our chanting. So, how we cultivate our consciousness impacts our chanting. So, these 2 hours are not just an exclusive time, but that time is interdependent on our other activities and our consciousness. So that's why it is so important that we approach the chanting, this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra very seriously. Now we will discuss a little bit on the chanting and what helps and what doesn't help in building that consciousness in chanting Krishna's names. Point number one, generally if you consider all the writings of different acharyas, they can be primarily they can be classified into four. What actually do not help in chanting our Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or what acts as obstruction in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The first one is known as Tattva Vibhrama. Tattva Vibhrama means improper, inconsistent understanding of philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, okay, even before going that, chanting means one is hearing Krishna's name and eventually one is feeling Krishna. Okay, so if you define what is chanting or what is effective chanting, effective chanting means, as mentioned in the verse Maya Sakta Mana Partha, one is hearing Krishna's name and there is an impact in our consciousness directly in our mind while chanting Krishna's names. So in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection to Ajamal pastime, that is a very important verse that is mentioned. There are many methods to purify the heart. So even 6th canto there is a discussion. So there are many methods to purify the heart. One may be devoid of material contamination through many processes. You know, karma, jnana, dhyana, you know, many processes which can keep one away from material contamination. But There is no other process as effective as chanting in terms of developing some attraction for Krishna. So chanting is a process that will give us attraction for Krishna and that will encourage us in performing devotional service. If someone is lacking enthusiasm in serving Krishna, it means that one chanting is not doing. If chanting is not proper, then Srila Prabhupada mentions that worshipping the deities becomes just like something like a burden. Prabhupada gave the example of if somebody has, why Guru Maharaj has put two big thorns here on the neck. So I cannot move. If I move, I will get pierced by the thorn. So deity worship and devotion service will become like that if we don't chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because when we chant, Krishna nourishes our desire to serve Him, because that is Krishna consciousness. Right? So this is, so Bhagavatam says in the 6th canto, the verse says, Tanuttama Shloka Gunopalam Bhagava. That is, while by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one is reminded of Krishna's qualities, pastimes, and form. So one is constantly reminded of Krishna by the process of chanting. So this is the result of chanting. This is what we are aiming. So now we understand what are the obstructions. So the first obstruction is Tattva Vibhrama. Tattva Vibhrama means improper understanding of philosophy. Not understanding who Krishna is. The understanding that we are servant of Krishna and what is the process of bhakti, what we have to eliminate, what we have to avoid to practice bhakti and what we have to accept to perform bhakti. If we have confusion in any of these things, if we don't know much about Krishna, we can know about Krishna by reading Krishna book, we can read Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear about Krishna. If you don't know much about Krishna, who Krishna is, and what is the process of devotion service, what we have to avoid if we have to perform devotion service, and what we have to do, that is support devotion service. If you don't know these, then that can obstruct to develop our proper consciousness in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Second obstruction is known as Asat Krishna. Asat Krishna, our different range. There are many things in Asat Krishna. Asat Krishna means, Asat means that which is temporary. Krishna means attachment. It can start from, we may have petty material attachments. So anything what we find here in Melbourne, whatever we desire for materially, they are all petty material attachments. If we desire a car, a big house, or want to be a millionaire or a billionaire, it may sound very wonderful, but they are all petty material attachments. So that's why in this classification, when we read the commentaries, they write, there is next level of attachment, that is desire to go to heavenly planets. So that is considered a bit superior to petty material attachment. Whatever we can find in the earthly planet, anything, even if you want to become president, any control, any amount of money, they are all considered petty material attachments. That's why the next level is going to heavenly planet. And we know we don't deserve that. At least now. Devotees, because we are, if there is attachment, it's already petty material attachment. So we don't go to the next level. Okay. And the next level is attraction for siddhis, mystic potencies. We don't really desire mystic potencies. You know, maybe hardly one may desire. But we may only desire perverted reflections of material siddhis. Do we ever desire, I want to become smaller than the smallest. I want to become the bigger than the biggest. I want to control everyone else's mind. But the thing is, we desire control. One or two person I want to control. Not everyone. So even the siddhis, or I want to create my own planet. We may desire I want to create my own house, but not planet. So this is one force into petty attachment, one force into still material, but it is higher. And there are of course obstruction in developing the right consciousness in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the final one is the desire for Mukti. Fourth one is Mukti. Mukti means liberation from material clutches. I don't want any more suffering. I want to get out from this. So if you see this, primarily we can see our problems. One, I want to chant Hare Krishna mantra because I want a comfortable life. Right? Or I want to chant Hare Krishna mantra because I want to avoid a miserable life. Everything boils down to the same thing. Either chanting for comfortable life or to avoid miserable life. So he said these both have nothing to do with bhakti. It's good that we are chanting, but it has nothing to do with, not much to do with bhakti. The bhakti element is that one is taking the right process in the right time. So that is bhakti. But the intention is only an obstruction in attaining the final result. And finally, it's also mentioned the third one. Third one is very important. So first we explain the Tattva Vibhrama. Tattva Vibhrama means improper understanding of philosophy, and also there is no sufficient knowledge about Krishna. You may undermine, but you are not aware. I know I am Krishna's servant. Krishna is my master. I understood everything. All philosophy is clear. Why do we hear this again and again? And who is Krishna? Anyway. So, if we don't study Shastra, we don't understand who Krishna is. How he deals with the devotees. So, when we hear and when we think how Krishna deals with his devotees, then we understand how magnanimous Krishna is, how amazing Krishna is. We need to understand, we need to experience internally. So, this is first one. So this is the opposite of Tattva Vibhrama. So when we get that, we can avoid Tattva Vibhrama. Second, Asat Krishna, petty material attachments. And although one is to avoid material suffering or get a comfortable life because of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Third is called Dauravalya. Dauravalya means weakness of heart. Weakness of heart is, we hear everything, not one time, many times. We know everything. Philosophy is very clear. We know what is good for devotion service, what is not good for devotion service. We know what are petty material attachments. We understand everything. Still, what we feel? No, still I want that. I hear everything, everything is fine, but still, it is just too much. I really want that. And you can. It is generally said, it is attachment to anything which is not directly connected to Krishna. We want that. After knowing everything, still we want things which are not connected to Krishna and we cannot connect them to Krishna. So this is weakness of heart or hridaya, Dauravalya. Dauravalya. Then this hridaya Dauravalya extends further, which is more dangerous. One is deceit. The propensity to cheat, not necessarily others cheating, because I am going to cheat anyone else, but this in itself is cheating ourselves, right? After understanding everything, still if we are consciously desiring material objects for our own sense gratification, that is deceiving ourselves. Then, tendency to fault finding. We want to find fault in others. And envy. So, fault finding and envy can go together. One can see, oh, there is fault. Somebody is doing well. We see, oh, he is he's not really doing well. There are such and such problems. Being envious, you want to pull them down. So this is part of the Dauravalya. And it said, even more difficult is desire for fame. Even one can cut all this, still the final thing is, I am doing everything nicely, I am not finding fault, I am trying to control my mind, even though the bad tendencies are coming to my mind, I am just saying no. Because of my condition, it is coming, but still I am not acting on it, I am correcting myself, but still, one thing still can come to the mind, I am practicing nicely, so I have to be famous, other people should know about my practice of Krishna consciousness. It is said, of all this, the desire for fame, that is considered the most difficult. The reason is, we are doing everything else nicely, but still we are feeling that others are getting fame, but we are not. So you want to show others that how well am I performing bhakti. This is considered the most difficult. Said still it is possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says still it is possible. One can even get over that by careful practice of Krishna consciousness, by carefully chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So after this three, the fourth one is the aparadhas. Aparadhas means the offenses. Offenses we recite every day morning, the 10 offenses against the holy name of Krishna. So these 10 offenses. Here, these four are the obstructions. As it is, the Tatra Brahma, Asat Krishna, Hridaya Rupya, and the aparadhas. These are the obstructions in properly developing right consciousness in chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, and that they are actually obstructing us from attaining the real result of chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra. So the whole verse is talking about chanting of mantra with qualification. So if you want the right qualification, then we need to go through this and we need to find where we are lacking and we need to take the corrective measures. One time I asked Tulananda Maharaj a question. We hear about the 10 offenses. How can we avoid it? He said, he gave me the most straightforward answer I have ever heard. He thought, first you read the 10 offenses, you understand them, and then don't do that. Because we overlook even the meaning of the offenses. We take it so casually, so ritualistically, so mechanically, that it doesn't mean anything to us. After some time, it doesn't mean anything to us. After some time, many mantras do not mean anything to us. We pay once in a while for the Pichakravasana before entering the temple, before going to the, you know, getting out from the temple. It doesn't mean anything many times. So we need to bring in the consciousness. That's why I gave the example of the jukebox, Prabhupada jukebox. Jukebox is not getting any benefit because there is no soul, there is no consciousness. So the effectiveness of chanting is dependent on the consciousness we are putting in. So effectiveness of doing anything is dependent on the consciousness. So that's why Prabhupada said, first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. So it is such an important item in devotional service. So that is the 7th chapter, first verse. Mayasaktamanapata yogan minchat madashaya. Full consciousness of me. Then one can know Krishna in completeness. So here, Prabhupada in both purports mentions about Hare Krishna Mahamantra and chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra as the gift of Lord Chaitanya. After describing the importance of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra with the right consciousness, I will move into the next topic for today. So today is 24th. So we are starting the Srila Prabhupada book distribution marathon today till next 24th. So I speak something about book distribution because that essentially helps our sadhana. Any preaching will help our sadhana. The reason is that is part of our rest 22 hours in the day. Right? 24 hours. 2 hours of chanting is dependent on rest 22 hours, as we mentioned earlier. So in the rest 22 hours, what we can include is distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, if you see the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instruction is Sarvatharman Paridhyaya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. You give up all religiosities and surrender unto me alone. Now the teaching of Mahaprabhu is also essentially the same. And what is the teaching of Mahaprabhu? Yare Dekho Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh Ama Agyabhar Guru Bhoi Tarayadesh. So the essential teaching of Mahaprabhu as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, is to preach the glories of Krishna, to preach Krishna consciousness. And the conclusive teaching of Krishna is also to surrender unto Him. So in other words, the surrendering unto Krishna means preaching His glories, at least primarily in our movement. Because our movement, Krishna consciousness movement, everything is directed towards one thing, that is preaching. As Prabhupada said, the wheel should rotate. Taking the example of Indian Railway, I think the coming years, ILS, the ISKCON Leadership Sangha also, the theme is something similar. That the wheel should move, the train should move, something like that. In that line is the agenda of the ISKCON Leadership Sangha, meaning everything is in Krishna consciousness is directed towards one aspect, which is preaching. Why Srila Prabhupada took this example? Because in the Indian Railway, there are, I don't know how many, thousands and thousands of employees in the railway department. There is a railway minister, there is a cabinet ministry, there are many, many officials, there are many administrative officers, and there are many, many infrastructure, there are many train drivers, there are many porters, you can say so many people associated with Indian Railway. But Prabhupada said, the whole purpose of Indian Railway is such that the train should move from station A to B. Right? The whole purpose, if you see, everything is that the wheel should rotate so that people can be commuted from one place to another. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada said, the purpose of everything in Krishna consciousness is such that we can preach, including worship of the deity. So the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says the highest deity worship is when one is trying to solve the suffering of others. That is considered the highest form of deity worship. So we do deity worship physically, we offer them different offerings. But at the same time, the highest worship is if one is trying to help somebody who is suffering materially by giving Krishna consciousness. So this month is specifically dedicated for this purpose in the form of giving out the Srila Prabhupada's literatures to others. Now, why is this very important? Because this is the distribution of books without any discrimination. We are just going somewhere, wherever it is, and indiscriminately we are distributing the literature for people who understand and who do not understand. Who may have some piety, who may not have any piety. So, this is considered very important, and even when we consider the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his tour to South India, it is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Mahaprabhu manifested his maximum potency or most of his potencies in South India than Navadvip. Because in Navadvip, Mahaprabhu along with his associates were relishing the sweetness of Krishna's names by chanting and dancing. There hardly had he got any opportunity to preach, even though little bit of preaching he did, but there was no mass preaching. So it is mentioned his potency to preach, which is considered most difficult, he never manifested in Navadvip. However, in his South Indian tour, Mahaprabhu manifested his all potency to deliver the conditioned souls. And how he manifested his potency? He didn't distribute any books, nor did he give any classes. He was simply chanting and dancing with his full potency. When he was chanting and dancing, all the associates, they would chant and dance along with them, along with him. Someone would sing, someone would play katha, someone would play mridanga, and all the assembled people, they would become Krishna conscious simply by seeing and hearing Mahaprabhu. So this was the preaching of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu moved from one village in South India to the next, and he enacted the same pastime, and by that the whole village would become prema bhaktas of Krishna. So this was the preaching of Mahaprabhu. Then it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that entire South India became devotees of Krishna by the preaching of Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu's manifest leelas folded back, and only some of his associates remained in this world. And all the responsibility of preaching was entrusted upon some of his followers. So there the actual book distribution started. So book distribution was not started recently in Prabhupada's times. Yes, it actually went many fold in the time of Srila Prabhupada and later. But it was originated at the time of Mahaprabhu and just after the manifested pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So the Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and other Goswamis, they wrote many books elucidating the bhakti process in Vrindavan. And three devotees were entrusted to distribute books which were left behind by Goswamis. So these three great devotees were Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Pandit. So they were students of Jiva Goswami, and after their education, they were sent to preach. So this is how Krishna consciousness should be. Once we understand philosophy, when one becomes proficient in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and when one is ready to preach, then one has to take up the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. So here, these three great acharyas, they were asked to go to their own places and spread Krishna consciousness. So Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya in the region of Bengal, and Shyamananda Pandit in Odisha. So these great acharyas, they collected all the original manuscripts of Goswamis, and they put all of them in a wooden box, and pulled by bullock cart, they started moving towards south to Bengal and Orissa. And as you know, the past time when they were in the border of Bengal, the agents of Brahmadhir, they stole all the scriptures, and when they got up after a tiresome journey, they couldn't find any of the scriptures. They couldn't find the box. Everything was stolen by the thieves. And later, Srinivas Acharya recovered all those scriptures, and then they went to Bengal and Orissa respectively. Then the actual book distribution starts. So there were devotees who had good handwriting. Now I think it will be very difficult to find people with good handwriting. People are almost forgetting writing. Everyone is typing. So if you have to write something, it becomes great difficulty. Yeah. So that time there were good writers with good, beautiful handwriting, and they made many copies of all different books like Shatsandarbhas, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the works of other Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And then they started distributing. And I found a paper in which there were written in 1 year how many copies of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu were distributed, how many copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita were distributed. So the reading out of the score, it was there almost 500 years back. So it has a history. So now for us, this is the time to put our acts together. We had to do something. Our knowledge of Krishna consciousness is tested when we preach Krishna consciousness. Our qualities in Krishna consciousness are tested when we preach Krishna consciousness. And the best way to do that is distributing Srila Prabhupada's books.
So Srila Prabhupada made a very interesting statement.
If you simply push on this one activity of distributing my books, your all success will be there. So if you push on one activity, then Srila Prabhupada is guaranteeing all success in all other devotional activities. So now, we may be Bhakti Shastri, we may have taught Bhakti Shastri, we may be Bhakti Vaibhava, we may be Bhakti Vedanta, we may be Bhakti Sarvabhauma, we may have all the degrees, but if we go in front of people and if you try to give a book, people are not impressed. Immediately you will realize that. You take a book and you can go. You will immediately realize that simply having degrees, they are not impressed. We can even dress devotional clothes. We can wear saffron. Even we can carry danda. Still, people are not impressed. So, this is a real test of our consciousness because we are there, a person who is a potential recipient of that book is there, and Krishna as Paramatma is there in our heart and in his or her heart as well. Can you see? So the book distribution is dependent on our consciousness, the recipient's consciousness, and the sanction of Krishna. So here we can see a completely different dynamics working right in front of us in a matter of few seconds or few minutes. So to see how Krishna works, we don't have to embark on a project and wait for 1 or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. We can see in front of us in a few minutes. And this is a service in which one will be forced to pray because the circumstances or Krishna will force us to do so. Right? As we give the example, to cut a potato in the kitchen, we don't pray hard to Krishna. Even though we are completely dependent on Krishna, even to cut a potato, right? We are completely dependent. Still, we don't realize that. But when you distribute books, in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you start getting realizations. So it's a good activity in helping others and in helping ourselves. If we have pride in our heart, it's a very good way to smash the pride. So we can see, not only, we can see Mahaprabhu's times, how he was preaching. We can see after Mahaprabhu they were preaching. We can see how in Srila Prabhupada's times, how devotees distributed so many books. And now we can also see after Srila Prabhupada's departure, how many devotees pushed out this movement by distributing his books. Like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, amazing stories how they distributed books. One classic story in the communist Eastern Europe, the KGB was chasing Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. They found out that he was distributing books, they were chasing him. So if he got caught, the punishment is quite severe. So he started running, he was started sprinting, and they were chasing him. And you know, he's alone. And he stands out completely among the pure white Caucasians. Right? Bhaktivedanta Maharaj has a dark skin, he is an African skin. And all the, in Eastern Europe, everyone has pretty snow white skin. And he will stand out. No way he can get merged into the crowd. So as he was running, he found a name board of a professor's office. So he, without saying, he just rushed into this professor's office. And the professor was there and he told him, "I have an appointment with you." He said, I can't find in my appointment list your name. He said, "Oh, I spoke to your secretary." Oh, he said, "Okay, then it's alright, you know, secretary might have messed up, so you can come and sit." Then Bhaktivedanta Maharaj started speaking about Srila Prabhupada's books like Bhagavatam. And he said, "We have such and such book. It talks about everything here, about consciousness, about yoga, about meditation, about archaeology, about history." He told many things. And the professor was impressed. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj got a standing order for Srila Prabhupada's books, which were yet to be published. So this is some other very inspiring story of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So there are many stories where devotees worked hard to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Now we have so many Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, we have so many things running. So now is the time to actually show our dedication to the desire of Srila Prabhupada, which is to distribute books, especially in this month, at least in this month. Can be throughout the year activity, but at least in this month. So for that sake, every week we are holding Sankirtan festival every Saturday. So if you are not part of the WhatsApp group, you can be part of it. You can tell me, or you can tell one of the devotees, we can add you into the list. And we will send emails out in the circulation email so that those who want to take part in this, one can take part. One may not know about distribution, still one can see others doing, one can learn, and one can be part of this mission to please Srila Prabhupada and to help others quietly. So here I stop. I'll tell few points. The first we discuss about the efficacy of chanting is dependent on the consciousness, and then we went through the different things which are impediments in getting proper chanting, which were in Dattu Vibhrama, inconsistent flow of material understanding. Second one was Asat Krishna, material attachments in different shapes and forms. Third, the weakness of heart, which can span from after knowing everything, still deceiving oneself for others, to the desire for fame and for different anarthas that we may have, aparathas that we may commit, different offenses that we may commit. And then we discussed about preaching and especially distribution marathon in this month for the pressure of Srila Prabhupada. So stop here. See, is there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. Weakness of heart.
What is the question?
The question is, after knowing everything, philosophy, the problems, etc., still we may have material desires. So which is the Lord Balya, how to deal with that. Now, it is very important that we deal with the material desires. So now, there are some desires which could be doubted in Krishna service. So, one may have certain skills, certain talents, for example. One may want to exercise such desires. But that can be doubted in Krishna service. That is okay, because it is connected to Krishna. However, if you have other desires, then it's important that we, while chanting and other times, we actually control the mind. It is, one is, we are part of, this is part of controlling the mind. That is, if there are sources of desire, we don't again get sucked up into those desires. We resist. Second, this is, one sense is a negation. It's not positive activity, it's a negation. But negation in itself is important. Because if you don't develop the habit of negating or stopping for saying no, then it can become difficult, because then you will get into it. So one is saying no, negation. Second is the positive affirmation. Positive activity or strengthening to say no. We need strength to say no. That's where we need spiritual cultivation. So if we need such spiritual cultivation, there are different processes that we can take. One is expansion. One can, this is even applicable, even come to the inattentiveness and completely one lacks all the other solutions. One can be part of a festival, for example? One can be part of an activity, a devotional activity, which is very intense, for example. And that can actually purify us. Alongside the chanting. It's not negating chanting, but alongside, for example, if there is a festival, if we are completely giving into that festival. That will give us enthusiasm. We will give some extra mercy to strengthen our spiritual consciousness, and we can use that consciousness to say no to our weakness. Say, for example, on Balaram Purnima, I was praying and I was praying to Lord Baladev, and I was praying that, you know, I have some problems in chanting. I really want to get over, you know, the unwanted habit there, striking my mind, I want to really get over so that I can have a proper consciousness now onwards. See, now Janmashtami is coming. I want to prepare myself, my chanting on the way to Janmashtami. So that is particularly taking help of Baladev to get spiritual strength so that I can say no to certain things. So this is an example of how we can take shelter of the spiritual process so that we can gain some strength to say no. So there is positive action so that we are developing our consciousness to say no to certain negative things. Now, in this context, for example, generally we said if we take part in intense preaching activity, that is an example where we actually feel purified. That's a personal example, experience in taking part in marathon, for example, because it is not easy. It is fighting against the mind. Because nobody is, no one has ever queued up, lined up to take books. That never happened, right? We are actually running after people rather than people running after us. So there is always challenge for the mind in distributing books all the time. And marathon, this challenge is peak, because if you are fully doing marathon, we are doing day after day for a good number of hours as the main activity. Then what happens is, one, we get really challenged physically, mentally, and sometimes spiritually in this process. So this is a great opportunity where we take shelter of Krishna. We pray to Krishna's Prabhupada sincerely and to Srila Prabhupada sincerely, to Guru sincerely, so that we can actually push on the same activity for a good number of hours day after day. So when we push through, we understand we are actually getting purified. After that, we can again get contaminated. That's a different story. But one can feel one is getting actually purified, because we have a very positive, powerful activity to perform, and also we are effectively and strongly controlling the mind. See? So this is an example. When we engage in some intense spiritual activity, we gain spiritual strength by which we can say no. So Hridayabodham is nothing, the desires are coming to my mind, and I know that it's not good, but I want to give in to it. So this is deceiving, because knowingly we are telling the voice. So we need that spiritual activity. Strong spiritual absorption is required to fight with that. And then we can actually see from this.
Yes.
Yes. That's right. That is another thing. Exactly. So this is another thing. But then after, there's a tendency that we space out after partaking in an intense devotional activity. Or during. What's your question?
Sometimes, usually after as well. During those, like, usually after, like, you haven't practiced everything and then you go home and then you have to do different things and all that, and you sort of space out and you kind of just go back to normal stuff. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, how do you, like, avoid that?
If you want to avoid spacing out, we need a plan. What we are going to do. We need to have a devotional plan. If we have many other things, then the devotional service will not happen automatically. Spacing out can happen automatically. So to curb that, we need a plan of engagement. So after marathon, for example, one need to not to get spaced out, one need to have a sadhana program. A sadhana program, because sadhana, especially reading, will get affected when we distribute books, especially if you are going intense driving, etc. many things get compromised. Then we need a sadhana program. I will read this many hours, I will chant this many rounds, so that I can maintain my consciousness without good distribution. Otherwise, one will tend to just space out completely. The rest time becomes completely space out time. So even if you do it during that time, if you do a few hours of service, if you want not to be spaced out, then you need to have a plan. What am I going to do rest of the time? And then try to stick to it. That's the next step. First challenge is to have the plan. Second is how to stick to it. That's part of, again, controlling the mind. Final
answer. When you were telling about your offenses about Brahmanas, I was thinking of Kal Sarg Dosh. They actually offense, you know. And the Pandits are charging lakhs of rupees in India to chant some names. And the mantra has got very lot of potential. And as you said, people know their consciousness is so down, taking coffee and
At least that.
That's right. I know one case in Sydney was going on, and one mantra was put on a thread, and that was put on the chairs of the people who were opposing the fence in the court. So one night before they put those threads on the chair, and next day as soon as they said, they have to go run to toilet. So effective mantra. So the mantras are the most effective. But chanters are not.
Yes. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.